We would like to acknowledge that Politics with a Pin-Up was recorded upon Kaurna country. Sovereignty of this land was never ceded. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. While at Politics with a Pin-Up, we try to make lighthearted fun of the state of the world around us, we acknowledge that some of the content in today's recording is distressing to some listeners. Here at Politics with a Pin-Up, we stand by the values that Black Lives Matter, women's rights are human rights, trans rights are human rights, no human is illegal, science is real, and love is love.
Politics with a Pin-Up podcast. This is Moisty's attempt to use her political science degree and love of shit talking to create an engaging and educational space. This is politics through the educated eyes of a stripper. Each episode covers three main segments: the unpacking of a political concept or theory, updates on world news and events, and how Moisty thinks key political figures would act within a strip club. And now, putting the ho in host, Moisty Magic.
Welcome to Politics with a Pin-Up. I'm your host, Moisty Magic. This podcast is my attempt to do something with my life apart from show men my asshole and hold an arbitrary degree in political science. This evening, my guest is the wonderful Ashley Hellfire. Because it is our first episode, I thought I would bring you a baby stripper to entertain you. How are you going, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm fantastic.
Great. You ready to talk about some political shit?
Always.
Fantastic. Well, since this is our first episode, I thought we need to really delve into what we're going to be talking about in this podcast. So let's have a little look at what is politics. What is politics to you, Ashley?
Mostly an argument, I'll be honest.
Look, we do love arguing on the internet. It's the only place we can get serotonin at this point. So I've delved into my big brain thinking and years of experience of wasting my life and had a look at some definitions of politics that we can unpack together. So politics is defined as a set of activities associated with decision-making in groups or other forms of power relations between individuals, such as the distribution of resources and status. Kind of boring, right? Very like wanky, very like dry. I mean, you kind of need to understand where it is to talk about it, but I know what it's like. So writer Ernest Byrne said, "The politics is the art of looking for trouble and finding it whether it exists or not, diagnosing it incorrectly and applying the wrong remedy." And I feel I relate to this in my life, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. My entire life has been looking for problems.
So. Looking for trouble and then just fucking around, applying the wrong remedy, you know? And I feel like that really sums up where politics is today.
It's definitely something that Auspol really, really excels at.
Yeah, absolutely. What a fucking dumpster fire Auspol is. But also more broadly, you kind of look at America and you're like, that's just no.
Well, that's what we're aiming for, right?
We do not want to be like America. We only want to have Starbucks and nothing else. I kind of like having universal healthcare, to be honest. It's nice not dying because I can get medication. So David Easton said it's about the authoritative allocation of values for society. Again, very dry, wanky.
Doesn't really tell you a lot about what we're doing with politics, really.
Yeah, it doesn't really tell you about what values, you know, like economic values. Is it like my values, which are clearly cursed?
What values?
Yeah, true. I am a sex worker, let's be honest.
Economic values then, I guess.
Yeah, well, that leads us into Lenin, and everyone loves a bit of Vladimir Lenin. I know Russia did. So politics is a concentrated expression of economics. I'm a stripper. The only economics I understand is you giving me money.
For your asshole.
For my asshole, yeah. It is a good asshole. I just had it done recently. It's new. I had some surgery done on it.
Haven't stopped talking about it since because it's the most perfect starfish I've seen.
It's a little balloon knot. I love it so much. I'm so happy. So I guess, you know, how did we get to a point? It's not even 5 minutes into the podcast and we're comparing Vladimir Lenin to my asshole. This is what we're signing up for, folks. This is what's going to be going on. Bernard Crick, God, another old dead white man, fuck. This was the majority of politics 101, let's be honest. That's why I've got strippers in to talk about it and make it interesting. If only we could show you our boobs, but unfortunately radio doesn't allow for that. So just imagine my boobs while I'm talking to you.
That's the only way to make it interesting, really.
Yeah, right? They are good boobs. I love our producer is nodding his head at the thinking about boobs. So Bernard Crick argued that politics is a distinctive form of rule whereby people act together through institutionalized procedures to resolve differences, to consolidate diverse interests and values, and make public policies in the pursuit of common purpose. That's absolute bullshit.
I mean, I like that one. It's just so wordy. Like, I'm falling asleep by the end of the sentence.
It's very wordy, isn't it? But the thing is, it's like resolve differences, consolidate diverse interests and values, and like for common purposes. I can't think of anything less what's going on in politics. It's just arguments.
I mean, look, we do have some common purposes, but we definitely have no reconciliation or resolution in those differences.
I feel like, do you know my first ever lecture in political science? My lecturer showed us a video of a parliament, I think it was somewhere in Eastern Europe, where they just all had a punch on with each other.
Oh, fuck, let's go.
Yeah, I was like, why can't we have this? Why can't they turn politics
to
into
be fair,
if one big wrestling match? I want to see ScoMo throw down.
Honestly, though, I feel like that would definitely lead the way for Putin to lead the world.
Yeah, Putin nobody's, would take over.
Nobody's beating him in
no
a fist
No one
fight.
Would fuck with Putin. Oh, I would love to see Putin take out Biden. Like, not even like in a political way. Just like, that's just like Putin knocking out an old man. Oh.
Surely there's some form of genre of porn that like gives us what we want in that area.
Yeah, Rule 34. Let's Rule 34 that shit. Right, Adrian Lefwitz, politics comprises of all the activities of cooperation, negotiation and conflict with and in between societies, whereby people go about organizing the use and production and distribution of human, natural and other resources in the course of the production and reproduction of their biological and social life. Oof. Again, it's one of those things where you say a lot of words to sound smarter than you actually are.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, that's my brand. I'm like, I'm starting a podcast on politics. Look how big-brained I am.
Get your titties out.
Yeah. Anyone want to see my asshole? This is the best definition, and this is the one we're going to go off for the course of the podcast, because I feel like it really does sum up what politics is and what it boils down to in an essence. And that is, politics is who gets what, when, and how. It doesn't matter if it's an institutionalized form of who's getting what, or if it's just in a workplace or whether it's just in a social thing. It's about who gets what, when, and how. And it's important that we acknowledge that politics is vital in our lives, because when we're distributing things over who gets what, we all have different wants and needs that need to be met. For example, I really want $1 billion and a BBL. What I actually need is therapy.
Thanks.
And a BBL and $1 billion. But I think it's important, and we live in a society. I just think of that joke and
we live in a society. Every time.
Can you someone Photoshop my face onto the Joker? We live in a society. I'm already making memes for my podcast and we haven't even recorded the first episode.
What we're making a podcast for, just to make more memes?
That's why I like politics. The memes are fire. Every time the producer's writing down, make more memes. Thank you. Show boobs, make memes. That's, you know, my parents are so proud of me. This is what I'm doing with my hex
debt. Same thing as they genuinely are when you make that joke. Like, our child is actually really great also. She hates us.
I do have to tell the story of when I told my dad I became a stripper. His response was, don't you fucking blame this on me. I was a great father. Don't you start with those daddy issue jokes. Shout out to Emo Steve. I'm really sorry. Anyway, it's important to acknowledge that politics is vital because we live in a society.
We live in a society
where everyone's wants and needs are vastly different. And when you're distributing resources, when you're making laws, when you're thinking about how you want society to function, the process of who gets what, when, and how becomes really complex because different people have different needs, but different people also have different wants and different ideas about how things should function, really.
And even just different ideas about who should provide those wants and needs. There's absolutely some people who are like, yes, the government's responsible for all of this. Other people think that there's no responsibility whatsoever.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those are some of the things we're gonna cover in the next few weeks and months and however long we subject our producer to having to deal with us. I love you too, Dave. So we really wanted to just give an overview in the next what I want the podcast to cover in and educate everyone, sort of provide it in a
an accessible
fumbling out an accessible way to talk about politics and access some of these ideas. So we're going to talk about different ideologies and philosophies. You know, you hear left wing and right wing thrown around a lot, so we want to talk about what that actually means. We're going to talk about forms of politics and government and how they operate, also the decision-making process and voting and election, a lot of things that we have to participate in day-to-day life but are not clearly explained to us. Our institutions, so your branches of government, and also how they factor into politics and the government and decision-making. I want to talk about behaviours. I personally find it really interesting, different behaviours of politics, and you see a lot of that now, particularly in the era of COVID. A lot of the right wing are behaving a certain way versus the left wing. And we're also going to talk about dysfunction and what happens when everything goes to shit.
Which is every day.
Every day, all the time. Yeah. Well, I'm particularly excited to talk about civil disobedience, my favourite topic of all time.
Sorry, do you mean encourage anarchy with the Herald Sun? No.
I love crusty anarchists. They're so sexy. So that's what we're going to kind of cover in this podcast, and I hope you learn something, or if not, at least be amused for at least 20 minutes of your life, bring some joy into this miserable world of existing under late-stage capitalism.
If you don't enjoy it either way, you can make a complaint via our bank accounts and
absolutely. I only accept complaints in forms of cash. Write it on the back of a $100 bill and send it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the description when you do a bank transfer. Just put it in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Write how much you hate the show when you transfer me money. I love that. I love that. Thank you, Ashley. All right, let's get on to our hot topic and what's been going on in the world. So, as you know, 2021 hosted the Tokyo Olympics, and I could give less of a fuck about sport, let's be honest. I don't care. I have to interact with balls a lot, and my job, hitting them about, it's not really my thing. Unless it's your thing, then you can pay me to do it. But I'm really good at pretending to give a shit about sport. What I do, however, love is politics and gender politics. So this year in the Olympic Games, there was some controversy around the transgender weightlifter Laurel Hubbard, who represented New Zealand, failed to place, but did create a major stir in the idea of what makes a woman and what makes a man. Ashley, you have a background in sexology.
I do, yes.
And can you tell us a bit about what sexology is and what you know about gender?
Oh, fuck.
Were you on the spot? I mean, it's not real anyway, let's be honest.
I mean, look, the only thing I know about gender is that it doesn't exist and that I don't know a lot about it, to be honest. Sexology is a really broad term. It brings together biology, it brings together psychology, anthropology, all of those good things, along with a bit of law and politics mixed in for good measure. And it covers topics like sex, sexuality, gender, reproduction. And yeah, it makes me question everything I know about all of those topics.
Yeah, well, you know, let's be honest. We should be defined between what's in our legs, right? Between,
absolutely.
Yeah, like I'm like my vagina clearly is who I am.
I mean, look, it's what we make a living with.
It is what we make a living with, 100%. But, yeah, it's been a really interesting topic to kind of follow, but also really gross because we don't like TERFs here at Politics with a Pin-Up. We don't like them at all.
We really don't. And I love the fact that TERFs, and it's been said many times before, but TERFs and feminists in general try to say that we're not going to be defined by who we are and what we're born with. But at the same token, as soon as some trans people get involved, they're like, nope, the genitals, that's all we have to think about, the genitals.
Yeah, let's think about genitals. I think the major issue that has been coming up that people keep going back to is Laurel Hubbard was assigned male at birth and would have been raised. I'm just trying to find some information about when they started their transition period. Assigned female at birth, raised male, would have had testosterone-based puberty, and therefore people believe that they would have had an unfair advantage over biological women in their weight class. But I think the thing to acknowledge is that bodies, like the transition process, is probably takes away any advantage they would have had, because she would have had to take testosterone blockers, she would have been on estrogen, she would have gone through a second puberty.
Yeah, and I think the thing that people fail to acknowledge in those situations is that everybody's built different to begin with. There's not a woman I know personally who would be able to take on any of the women that are pro weightlifters, whether they're cis or trans or anything else.
I can think of many women I would like to take me on in a sexual way.
I can think of some of
like thighs that would like to crush my head with.
I mean, look, absolutely. Every time I see a woman's thighs, I want to be squished.
Oh, mummy. So it was 2012 when Hubbard began to transition to female, and she didn't start international weightlifting to 2017.
Yeah, and I guess when we're talking about transition, we're talking about medical transition?
I don't believe it's gone too much into the medical transition, but I do believe it's hormone-based.
Yeah, so hormone-based.
Oh, hormone-based is medical. I just thought we don't ask about the surgery.
No, absolutely.
We'd like to put that in inverted commas, the surgery.
Rule number one, we don't talk about the surgery.
It's kind of weird that we as a society are just like, hey, what have you got in your pants?
Oh, yeah, let me just whip that out for you.
Yeah, like,
look, pay me first and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Look, I have one.
You haven't paid me yet.
Our producer is currently looking as to why there's no labia out right now.
Sorry, I have a bit of a cock tease there.
Yeah, sorry. Look, I do have a particularly lopsided vagina, and no one ever wants to ask about it. It's because I'm very femme presenting. And I would like people to ask. I'll be like, I have one flap longer than the other.
The party flap?
The party flap.
It's absolutely.
Tames Ted Fundy. It comes out. It's a lady killer.
Oh. Yeah, so I guess with Laurel Hubbard, what we're talking about is her medical transition, so starting on hormones. And definitely in terms of the effects of that, it does reduce the muscle mass and it does change the body's makeup entirely in terms of what supposed advantage a male puberty would have given her.
Absolutely. Certain characteristics are defined masculine and feminine for no real reason.
Yeah.
We forget how gendered of society we live in, like, you know.
Yeah, and totally a lot of trans people, when they do transition, there's that feeling that they have to conform to gender norms even more so than cis people. So being able to weightlift and exist in a more masculine viewed environment would have been really beneficial for her in being able to maybe express that whole range of her gender identity.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think this is a good time to also bring up, if anyone is interested in further reading about gender theory, Judith Butler, who said that all gender is performative. It's all just something that we do. It's not really real anyway. And so when we talk about gender being fake, that comes back to Butler's theory about, yeah, performative gender. If anyone is interested on the topic of hormones, let's go over to Casta Semenya, who is a biological woman, a long distance runner from South Africa, who, in the same token, has been come under some controversy for They had very high testosterone levels, measured really high testosterone levels, despite identifying as a cis woman. Mm-hmm. And then it was found that she had undescended testes and was marked as intersex and banned from competing, I believe, in 2018.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting comparing the two cases of someone. Hubbard would have your regular levels of hormones of a cis woman, mm-hmm. But has sparked all this controversy around hormones and what makes a woman. But see, people seem to be quite quiet on this topic of semenya.
Yeah, and absolutely. I'm not entirely sure how semenya identifies in terms of gender, but if we're looking at sex, it really comes back to that idea that particular hormones or particular biological aspects of our bodies are going to give us a difference between our sexes. So when they discovered that semenya had a higher than usual level of testosterone, they banned her from being able to participate in her events, which there are plenty of variations within not even intersex people, but within cisgender and binary sex people in terms of their hormones. So it was a really interesting case.
Mm, absolutely. And I don't believe she's the only cis woman to have had this come about. Not so much related to hormones, but definitely there was controversy around Simone Biles being too good at gymnastics that it for a woman that it felt that it was unfair for her to do certain moves and certain things because she was too developed and too good at the sport.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about unfair advantage, then I feel like a lot of it is underlying the transphobia in society that we will only ever pick up on a transgender athlete having an unfair advantage when natural advantages in, say, men's sports or natural advantages in women's sports aren't really discussed with the same enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm is definitely a word.
Look,
I'm just saying that if Michael Phelps has some real big hands and he's still allowed to be a swimmer, then maybe we should give a bit of an exception or a bit more understanding about it.
What them hands do though, Phelps. What them hands do. Choke me, daddy. Oh, I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Michael Phelps is like, why am I trending?
Yeah.
Because some person on the internet has asked him to choke them.
Some absolute feral goblins. Yeah. So I'm just reading about a case about a non-binary athlete who does not identify as female but is allowed to play on the women's team. And I guess as we progress in society and realise that gender is not a binary and that sex is an infinite thing and we can have multiple genders, where does it leave things like sports that are traditionally male-female about those who identify as non-binary?
Yeah, well, I think the reason that we've had very sort of gender-segregated sports in the past is because we had this belief that men are biologically better than women at sports. Ignoring the, you know, century or more that women weren't allowed to exercise and had to wear dresses and heels.
Have you seen men playing soccer? They are absolutely not better at anything. They just...
Oh. Look, if I've seen a men's soccer player versus, like, women's roller derby, let me tell you, men are definitely not, like, superior.
I feel like this tough. I've just had a flashback to a customer we had together a few weeks ago who while heavily drinking, he was mid-40s, quite overweight, drinking heavily at 5 a.m. on a Saturday night in a certain gentleman's establishment, proudly declared that he could play sport better than any other woman out there. And I just...
Well, what I found really interesting was that, you know, we challenged him on this for a bit of fun. You have to amuse yourself somehow at 4 a.m. in a strip club. Mm. But when we challenged him and asked him about Serena Williams, his response to that was that Serena Williams was the exception. She would definitely be able to beat him, but only because, in his opinion, she was a man. So it's really interesting, and a lot of the people we've brought up so far in our discussion are women black of colour, women.
Black yeah. women. Yeah, yeah. And there is definitely something to talk about the intersectionality within sport and within gender politics as well.
Absolutely. There are so many more black women and women of colour who are singled out and vilified around, you know, their hormone levels or their athletic ability just because they're black, and then sort of labelled as being too powerful and people that they can't actually compete against, you know, what white society views as real women.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it ties into that narrative that black women are too loud and too over the top and too, you know. I'd also just like to acknowledge that at one point in the dance, that customer pissed himself.
Twice.
He did. He pissed himself twice. So we're going to take his opinions with about as much value as you can imagine right now. I needed a long shower after that one.
Flashbacks.
I'm having flashbacks, absolutely. Oh, God.
There's nothing quite like a man that needs help to get to the toilet and then falls asleep while he's shitting, telling you that he would outclass any female athlete in the world.
Absolutely. That man is a world record holder. World record holder would beat any woman. Absolutely. He also had weird screen caps of women on Tinder in his porn folder. Like, he'd gone through Tinder and be like, I'm going to jerk off to her later. Screen cap. It was very, very unsettling. Looking closer to home, we're going to look at some instances of transitioning within local sport. Everyone loves a bit of footy.
Oh, yeah.
Footy, 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 footy.
Look, every stripper loves the footy.
I absolutely love the footy. I make bank on footy. It's great. Footy and cricket. It's always a good time.
Yeah. Few weeks in between the grand final and the start of cricket season, sad times.
Do you know what can fuck off, though?
What?
Clipsil. Clipsil and summer gnats. Between that, I have PTSD.
It's all right. They've cancelled Clipsil, haven't they?
Yeah, they've cancelled Clipsil. Thank you.
It's ruined my birthday weekend every year I've been alive. So thank you to the gods that decided Clipsil could be canned.
Maybe I'm not strong enough as a stripper, or maybe I just know my clientele well, but I went to summer gnats one year being like, I'm going to make gank. It's going to be make bank. Make it's going to be gank. I'm going to make bank. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to do well. Two nights of being sexually assaulted and walking through fucking clouds of farts. And I was like, I'm booking a flight home and we never talk about this ever again.
Look, we've already got plenty of trauma. We don't need to add summer gnats to that as well.
Of course we have trauma. We're sex workers.
Oh, I thought that was why we got into it.
Yeah, absolutely. You get into it with the trauma and then you kind of get more trauma, but at least you're funny and hot.
I did have someone ask me the other day, you know, if working in this industry is likely to make you traumatized. And my response was that as long as you've armed yourself with having trauma beforehand, you're probably going to be fine. It's the babies that walk into this industry with absolutely no clue and with perfect mental health. They're the ones that suffer.
What's perfect mental health? Don't know her.
Don't know her.
Imagine that.
Oof. Look, I've heard that there's people out there who are mentally well. I've never met them, but good on you.
Yeah, look, my trauma makes me hot and funny and I'm thankful for it.
And sometimes it helps her traumatise others.
Oh, it's fantastic. Our producer is currently being traumatised right now.
He's been traumatised since he met you.
Yeah, it's when I was 17. I'm getting a
we're
big.
Not going
I'm
there.
Getting a big red flag.
Okay.
Okay.
Red
so we're gonna.
My life.
Yeah. Back to the AFL. Footy, footy, footy. Hannah Mountsey. So that was a controversy. Quite a few years, drafted into the women's AFL in 2017.
Well, not drafted. She wasn't allowed to.
Oh, absolutely. That's right, because, you know, gender. Gender's a thing.
Yeah.
So has sought legal action. And I remember looking at some news articles around it and I was like, you know what, I need some self-harm today, and I looked at the comments.
There's no better way to self-harm.
Oh, absolutely. Like, just it just really shows where we're at as a society when the conversations about gender are like, that's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that this was an issue. I mean, it's been an issue for a long time, but back in 20, 17 when she wanted to join the women's AFL, but it's still an issue now and we haven't really moved forward with it. Even in terms of the Olympics, there's still those regulations around like testosterone levels and what is a real woman. And despite
real women, real women,
what is a real
now
woman?
With moving parts?
Sometimes they cry.
A lot of the time we cry. So just on the Fox News website, sorry, Fox Sports. Oh God, don't tell anyone I'm on Fox News. I'm Alex Jones.
Just you're going to be getting some targeted ads now.
Oh, I'm Alex Jones just with bigger tits. No, actually that's a lie. He's got some pretty fat titties.
I'd love to touch them titties.
Oh, I'd motorboat that sweaty man. Oh, blah, blah,
blah. I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
So the three requirements for the new AFL policy is testosterone levels to have been at or to be below 5
nanomoles.
Nanomoles per 2. I'm so glad you could say that because I'm dumb. For at least 2 years prior, which again, medical transitioning, assuming that would reach that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's plenty of trans people that never go further than social transition, or if they do get hormonal transition, they don't access surgery. It's bringing it back to really that question of privilege and what's in your pants?
What's in your pants? What's in your pants? In your pants. What's in your pants today?
Trauma.
Damn. She hulked.
So
if that threshold is met,
then you're allowed to join.
You're allowed to join. Trans women and non-binary people may nominate for the women's AFL draft or apply to play in with other elite competitions by providing information regarding their height, weight, bench press, 200 meter, 20 meter sprint, vertical jump, GPS data.
That's my favorite.
And 2 kilometer time trial.
Look, if your height and weight is fine, but you've been in some sketchy places with your GPS data, you're not allowed to join.
I do not want to submit my GPS data to anyone.
That's what the government wants you to do.
Yeah, that's what they're tracking with the COVID vaccine. Like, what's this bitch up to? That's a weird thing, I guess, because, again, all those things, your bench press, your 20-meter sprint, your vertical jump, your time trial would be things that if you were cisgendered that would be heralded and be like, look at how amazing this this cis person is.
Look at this athlete. They're so strong.
Absolutely.
They can run so fast.
But only if you're white.
Yeah, and it's only as long as you're cis.
Yeah. And then if that application is approved, the player is required to maintain their total testosterone levels below the required amount and may be required to undergo periodic testing. I think it's very, yeah. What it comes back to for me is that transitioning and coming out as trans and transitioning in a world that is so heteronormative and cisnormative is already such an experience in itself and is already such a hard thing for many people to do. And then to go through that, to exist in this world, and then to train as an elite level athlete and go through all of that is such an accomplishment. And I think it's something that we really need to celebrate as opposed to just punishing these people and punishing someone who just wants to exist against all odds, really.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of training and a lot of work that goes into these sports. And
a lot of privilege comes with playing sport at an elite level.
It does. And that's why those that aren't able to access transition through hormones or surgery are then sort of outed and not allowed to participate in these things because they don't have that privilege.
Absolutely. There is currently a push within Parliament at the moment from the Greens, I believe, are backing the bill to have medical transitioning put under Medicare.
Yeah, so gender-affirming surgery and medical care to be subsidised probably wouldn't cover all of it, but you know, being able to actually make that more accessible because gender-affirming care is
It's very healthcare. Expensive and it's healthcare, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think we need to remember that universal healthcare is a human right and
nah.
Listen, Trump.
Fuck human rights, honestly.
Yeah, fuck human rights, though. It is a human right, and we need to – I think that we currently have a government who would quite happily take that away from us at the drop of a hat to save money in the budget. So keeping on top of these things and keeping – reminding ourselves that we need to fight to keep our human rights at all stages, even when you do have privilege, because they can be taken away, unfortunately. Absolutely.
And it was really interesting, a lot of the comments on the Greens post about gender-affirming healthcare, people pointing out that we don't yet have dental covered by Medicare.
We don't have dental, no.
No. So rather than using that as an excuse not to provide gender-affirming care, let's push for both.
Yeah, we don't have to fight each other. There can be care for all people in this world. Yeah. There is enough. Our government should provide, shouldn't be pitting people against each other because... I mean, that sort of – it's such a classic fear technique. You pit people against each other. You'll be like, it's either gender-affirming surgery or it's dentistry. And fight is such a way to divert you from real issues that are happening.
Yeah, that scarcity mindset of if somebody gets something, then it means that you can't have it is really a strong tactic within a lot of politics, and I think something that the Australian government really plays well at.
They love it. ScoMo loves it.
And it really applies back to the same issue of gender in sports, you know, saying that a trans person being included means that a cis person misses out. It's just not the case.
No, it's not the way it works. Absolutely. I think that's a great way to kind of tie up that topic. So to close our pod, our first ever episode of Politics with a Pin-Up, Ashley Hellfire, I would like to ask you a question.
Let's go for it.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
Oofed, daddy. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
What do you think he would be like as a customer?
I feel like ScoMo would be the type to come in by himself so he can chat so much to the ladies, waste your time.
Just here for a drink, love.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He's just come from the footy.
He would come from the footy. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's just here for a drink to chat you up and then tell you he respects you too much to actually pay for a dance.
I just get the feeling, given how he's acted with his policies, he would be the kind of man that would try and point out other men to you and be like, I won't go for a dance, but he will, knowing absolutely nothing about how the job works and what it's like. He'll just point at some dude and be like, he'll go, because ScoMo loves pointing the fingers at other people.
Let's shift that responsibility of supporting people to somebody else.
Absolutely. Just point the blame at someone else.
Sorry, blame, did we say money?
Oh, yes, money, blame, you know, it's all the same. Well, thank you so much for being our guest this evening, Ashley Hellfire.
Thank you, Moisty.
I'd also like to send a massive thank you to our producer, Dave, from Dave's Video Graveyard. I bet you he's going to edit this out because he doesn't want his name attached. I am Moisty Magic. You can find me on Instagram as Miss Moisty. You can also look up Politics with a Pin-Up. We will be releasing fortnightly episodes with all your political fun facts and a bunch of sex workers talking about shit. Thank you all and have a good night. Fuck Joe Rogan. I got my own podcast now, bitch. What are you going to do about it?